The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Viva Las Vegas. Here we are. Radio Row. It's back again. This all looks the same as any other year. It's everything around it that is dramatically different. It isn't New Orleans. It isn't Miami. It isn't Santa Clara. It isn't Phoenix. It is Las Vegas.
It's Las Vegas, baby.
For the week.
Vegas,
Super Bowl
baby.
58 is upon
Vegas,
us. Just
Vegas,
six
Vegas,
days
Vegas,
away.
Vegas.
Have you gambled yet?
Not yet, but I just took out a big wad of cash from the ATM, so I'm ready. I'm ready to gamble.
I've got...
Not responsibly.
I've got my gambling money.
Whoa,
this is my gambling money for the week.
Let me see that. Let me feel that. Ooh, look at! I knew you were rich. Ooh, look at this.
He's
got a Las Vegas pin there.
See, my dad,
you're bougier than me.
My dad always wanted to come to Las Vegas.
Right.
Lifelong gambler.
I just do that.
You've got like
I put a hair tie for
my
daughter and wife's hair tie.
So my dad always wanted to come to Las Vegas and never did.
Right.
Lifetime gambler. Gambler who realized the house always wins, so he became a bookie. So. When I left, before I left, he's got a little diamond pinky ring that I took that I'm going to wear to the casino for luck. And I forgot he's got a money clip that I didn't pick up.
Right.
And as soon as we walked in, we went to a little store by the lobby at the hotel, and I saw this money clip, and it's like, here it is. Had to get the money clip for
good. Him. Now you're, look at you.
There it is.
Now you're Michael Florio. You're in Vegas. You got cash.
But he'd be
you
mad
got
at
the
me.
Pinky
he'd
ring.
Be mad
hey.
At me because the way he said it,
what
he told me when I was
cash.
A kid, when you carry a bankroll,
right.
you do it like this.
Agreed.
With the small bills on the outside.
That's right.
You want him to think you're carrying a bunch of ones.
Exactly.
Not a bunch of 20s.
I always fought against that. The guys that put the hundreds on the outside, I want to be like, you want to be low key. You want to have the big stacks underneath so they don't really know how you're going to hit them there.
The wise guy approached, small bills on the outside.
That's
and
what
I assume my dad always had at least one that he could wrap around all the hundreds when it was time to go to the craps table, which
Damn,
we will be doing at some point.
That's how we got to Chateau de Florio. Okay.
Not
I
by
got
gambling.
It. No,
not
no,
by gambling.
Right.
We may lose it. We may have to sell it by the time I get home if I get that bug that's in my DNA.
The setup is like you said, it's similar, but it is Vegas. It does feel like they're made for this, right? That's the one thing. That's where it's very easy. The fact that we're in a hotel that's close to this is very spacious and somewhat new, right? And it's got a good feel. It really does, and I'm excited for this week.
Almost didn't make it today. Well, I don't know what would have happened. We were flying from Charlotte to Las Vegas. The connection, because you can't get to anywhere from Pittsburgh without stopping somewhere.
Gotcha.
We go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And somewhere probably over Arkansas, I don't know. I was trying to sleep. Flight attendant gets on and says, is there a medical professional on board?
Oh, gosh.
So somebody
Nothing
was sick.
Worse.
Something
right.
was going on.
Right.
Guys running up and down the hall, the flight attendant.
Yep.
And it was, very tense for a little while.
Like the defibrillator, defibrillator come out?
I know, but everything eventually calmed down.
Right.
But we spent some time thinking they're going to have to land.
Turn
I mean,
around
if a person
so
needs emergency care, we got to land. And then what do you do? And I'm thinking, I may not be on the show tomorrow, but it all worked out.
All right,
but I had about 15 minutes of wondering, you know, what you would do with that. You would have missed me today.
I would have missed you. I would have. That would have been weird to be just hold down the show here by myself for 2 hours. But we would have made do, but it would have, you would have been missed.
Today's definitely the day that the least really happens. But we do have Aiden O'Connell and Jacoby Myers of the Las Vegas Raiders
cool.
coming on later. The smart people come Monday, Tuesday, because by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
it's a zoo here.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's no space.
Right.
And if you're somebody who would be, like today, Aiden O'Connell and Jacoby Myers, they're the headliners. You come Friday, sorry, you ain't even getting on the bill. You're not even on the bottom.
Well, you're the
right?
heavy hitters are yeah. there. I mean, that's the day made for Hall of Famers, Super Bowl winning coaches, superstars.
You see who we have? Like Wednesday, your boy Blue's coming.
I can't even believe it, right? When they said Josh Allen last week, I was like,
are we sure it's
Jaguar Josh
yeah,
Allen.
I haven't asked that question yet. Are we sure it's that Josh
they
Allen?
They weren't sure last week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it is?
Wow.
It is.
Yeah.
It is my boy Blue. That's amazing. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. We'll have some good times with him.
Well, one thing, and I don't want to go back down this rabbit hole from last year.
Right.
One thing I've learned to be is very circumspect about promoting on PFT who's going to be on.
Yeah.
In the event
yeah.
that someone
right.
might see it and say, oh, wait, I don't
want...
Don't
let our guy,
yeah, don't
on,
let our guy
him.
On that
right.
show. So, well, there's one way to keep that from happening. We just, until
yeah.
until they're already
okay,
on,
good.
Then it's too late.
Right,
so,
all right. All
I ain't
right.
saying nothing. There will be... So, if you want to enjoy the show this week, and we hope you do, and we are live on Sky Sports, and we're live on Peacock, and we're live on SiriusXM 85, 1 to 3 Eastern all week long,
yep.
we're not going to promote many in advance except Josh Allen.
Josh
Sorry
Allen,
about
well,
that.
We know he'll show.
Slipped
we know
out.
Josh will show.
But we're not going to promote any others so we
right.
don't get anybody yanked before we have a chance
oh,
to talk.
Oh, I know.
To.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the way to do it. But that's where you should watch our show. We keep it real, and we talk about a bunch of people, too, as well, that we're not always favorable just because we know we might see them or whatever else. And what happens is when their agents or representation start to realize that they're coming to us and, oh, we might have
okay.
dissected their player a little too much.
No, well, it's not even that. It's not even that. Anything. It's not anything we said about the player. Like the agent gets mad because of something we said about the agent, and they're going to restrict their player from
yeah.
having an opportunity to come talk to
Not
us
cool.
because the agent's mad about us. Anyway, see, I didn't want to go down that
yeah,
road.
Right. Well,
dragged
we went
me down.
We're there. Good now. We're
anyway,
good.
As mentioned, Aiden O'Connell and Jacoby Myers will be joining us coming up later in the program. Shereen Williams will be here as well. We'll talk to her about the Cowboys and how relieved she is that she does not have to get Bill Belichick tattooed on one butt cheek and Jerry Jones tattooed
she's
on the
relieved.
Other.
We're disappointed.
Because there is a tattoo parlor
oh.
on the premises.
We would have all gone there, and we would have made her lay down, and we would have all just gotten to witness it. We'd be like, can we take a picture every now and then? But, yep, she dodged the bullet there. She's good to go.
I wonder how drunk I'd have to be to get a tattoo.
Gosh. Yeah, I
it
don't know.
It would take less than you would think.
I was going to say that, too. I said, I don't think you, because you bring it up every now and then. I think you want
I'd
something
kinda like
a little.
I'd kind of like to do it.
Right.
I'd kind of like to do
All
it.
All right. Well, I'll feed you the drinks, and we'll see where that line
oh, you
of
won't
demarcation
need to.
Is.
You won't need to. The ghost of Leonard Toes is hovering around the casino. You don't have to feed me the drinks. They're going to be bringing them. All we got to do is stand there, and they're going to bring them,
they
so
will.
We'll be good to go. All right. The Chiefs and the 49ers are good to go. They both arrived yesterday. The perfunctory video of the plane landing with the Chiefs flag out the window and the other plane landing
it's
with
like the
49ers.
It's like the official start of the Super
flag
Bowl.
Flag out the window. That is. That
it is.
Is. Big red, Natalie clad in the suit. You know,
yeah.
everything's ready to go. The teams are here. And, you know, it's real when they're here. And it starts when they're here. And we'll spend all week getting you ready for Super Bowl 58. There's Patrick Mahomes,
Look
not
that.
In a suit.
Has he got his own luggage there? Or
that
did he
looks
just put a
like
sticker on there? I don't know what that
that's,
is.
That's his luggage. There's Travis Kelce. Who's he? I've never heard of Travis Kelce.
Man,
we won't be talking about
his
Travis
fashion,
Kelce
that,
at all.
Like, he became, not week. Only is he, of course, like a legend at tight end, but he right now is like a fashion statement. So, like, people want to see what he's
but
wearing,
how does that,
what bags he's carrying.
Is
Shanahan?
That, yeah,
Shanahan's into fashion. He definitely got I bet you, some cool stuff on. Like it's
there's
not,
and there's Brock Purdy. He's coming to cut your grass after school.
Yep. But, yeah, it's always cool to see the Super Bowl. The 49ers look like they took more of the approach. Oh, their Debo's all leathered up. Right, but yeah, guys, some come in the sweatsuit, some come decked out because they know they're going to be on social media and everywhere else.
Debo maybe with the homage
to
the Elvis
rocker.
Comeback
right.
special from 1968.
Vegas, baby,
well
right
done.
There.
Well
yeah.
done. Okay, so some old business that our friend Peter King
yeah.
finally addressed.
Right.
We were begging them last week.
Yeah.
Somebody please
right.
ask Kyle Shanahan and or Brock Purdy about Brock Purdy's comment from a few weeks ago that they were going to sign Tom Brady to be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers for 2023. Regardless of whether or not Brock Purdy was healthy, he would have been the guy this year. Brock would have taken a seat. Nobody had asked anyone about it. Brady was asked about it last week by Pat McAfee, and Brady gave a non-answer. And Brady is very good at giving non-answers.
Oh, yeah.
He's learned. He could be commissioner.
Yeah.
He's become very good at giving non-answers to questions. Don't get me started on commissioner either, at least not for a few hours. And what else? John Lynch last week was asked about it, and he finally addressed it, but we needed to hear from Shanahan.
Yeah.
We needed to hear from Purdy. And
sure.
Peter King, riding to work, he's been doing that every year for the past six or seven, except for the COVID year, where he'll ride to work with one of the coaches in the Super Bowl. He finally asked your guy Kyle about it.
Right.
And Kyle's response was, and I don't know whether it was sarcastic, he said, "I'm glad you asked that question."
I saw you wrote that, and I promise you that was a real answer.
Not like, "Well, I'm glad you asked that."
Yeah, it wasn't that.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I think he's going, "I'm glad you brought that up so he can address it right here and get it out of the way." I think that's really the big thing that he probably wanted to just take it, you know, head on and discuss it that way. Shanahan, as you've heard me say many a times, and I think it's one of the reasons you respect him in a lot of ways, he is going to keep it real that way. And he usually is extremely honest with the media. In fact, that's why I think sometimes he's awkward with the media, because he's like, I don't want to be too honest and say something that I shouldn't say.
Oh, he recently said he didn't want to know what Deebo Samuel's injury was coming out of the divisional round, so he wouldn't be in a position where he had to lie.
Oh, I'm telling you. This is the thing I respect about my friend in a lot of ways, too. Hey, I want to ask you about this, or I want to do this interview. And sometimes his answer was like, "Hey, I'm afraid to do it with you sometimes because you're my buddy, and I'm afraid I'm going to just start talking to you like you're my buddy, and I'm going to say things that I shouldn't share." But the number one thing about Shanahan, and I know you know this, and you've made comparisons to him and Belichick and all that, and there is a lot to compare there. He is all in on his football team and the 49ers and exhausting himself not only to make himself better, to make the team better. And he got to a spot last year where, yes, I think he was still bothered that maybe he passed on Brady in 2020, like you've mentioned many a times. And I think then you couple that with, hey, Purdy's arm's hurt. I don't know where he's going to be. And as I told you, I think Brady was flirting with a few teams that were still possibilities when the offseason was over. And that's where Shanahan was taking some of those calls, discussing some of those things with him. You know, ultimately it didn't work out. But yeah, the lines of communication were there. I knew that, you know, back at the time, really.
And that's essentially what he said. He spun it into a positive. He said, "I was serious about it."
Yep.
And he's considering that Brock's got his arm in a sling. I'm really not sure who I've got at quarterback.
Right.
Is he going to be ready for the start of the season? That started all of it. I actually thought it was giving Brock the biggest compliment. I let him know he's our guy long term, no question. If Tom Brady wanted to come here and start for 1 year, that's the only way you're not starting when you're healthy this year, and that's pretty cool. I wanted to assure him, don't worry, you're our guy. But how cool would it be if Tom Brady would be the quarterback here for one season? How cool would it be to learn from him? So in that answer is the commitment that we didn't get because nobody asked him, because when you look at what he said to Purdy last year, the natural follow to that is, well, might he have a wandering eye again this year? What would it take for him to think about Kirk Cousins?
Right.
And this slams the door on that. Now, four interceptions in the Super Bowl might kick that door open again.
Sure.
But the way he answered that question, he's already made the decision. Purdy's the guy. That's the headline. This isn't something that I'm going to toy with until Purdy wins a Super Bowl.
I know.
Purdy's the guy. He's already done enough to be the guy.
He's seen enough from Purdy on the practice field and meeting rooms, on the game field, to go, no, he's proven that to me. Now, again, how good can he be? You know, top 10? Can he get to the top 5? All that stuff. Sure, we could discuss all of that, you know, and we'll see where that goes. But this is not, through my years of knowing Kyle and talking about quarterbacks, the conversation, Mike, is nowhere near, you know, the conversation it used to be, or the worry I used to hear in his voice when it came to Jimmy Garoppolo at the quarterback position, right? Right. I mean, I used to have conversations with him there and just realize, like, oh, you know, yeah, he's got questions about his quarterback. He doesn't know how far they can take him. He doesn't know if he can trust him. Right. So those were things that would be at the forefront of conversations with Shanahan. And that even filtered in, again, his honesty, even into Trey Lance when he was the starter. Like, I could tell there was trepidation, there was questioning about how good, if he could actually maintain being a starting quarterback in the NFL. I can tell you with 100% confidence, with Brock Purdy, that has never been the issue. it is always positive. It is always a little bit, I got a quarterback, and I got a guy that can do this, and I got a guy who can understand me and translate it to the football field. And that's where, yes, unless it's something monumental, which we haven't really seen, right, from Brock Purdy in his play, I totally think Brock Purdy is the guy of the future. And I think really to what you said is really the point. It's not about Kirk Cousins. He found his Kirk Cousins. Brock Purdy is his Kirk Cousins, and I think that's what he likes. Exactly right, and he's willing to ride with that.
Yeah, and we've seen what Purdy can do. We spent a lot of time last week talking about his running ability.
Yes.
The water dragon? Is that what?
The
George
water
Kittle
dragon, right.
Compared him to, and, right. And he's got a very compact but very efficient style when he has to take off and run. He makes some great throws. It's all very non-spectacular.
Right.
It's not flashy, but it's effective.
Right.
And he's running the offense, but he's got that extra twist of the ability to make something happen when the play that's called isn't there.
Yeah.
And that has not been a hallmark of the Kyle Shanahan quarterback.
Right.
The Kyle Shanahan quarterback has been, call my play,
right,
run my play.
Exactly.
And if my play isn't there, throw it away.
Yeah.
Not
right.
Maybe you can make something happen. Purdy can make something happen.
And that's why I think he drafted Trey Lance, because he wanted a guy that could get
him out.
That's
the irony.
Right,
of it.
Right. Exactly right. You know, he wanted a guy that could help him out when he's not right all the time, 100%. Right. But now he's got a guy in Purdy where, wait, it's brains. It's not going to wow you with the brawn, but the brawn is good enough. It's certainly good enough. He can make every throw on the football field, and like you said, he can make plays off schedule. You know, he's played phenomenal football. I don't understand the criticism. I think Cam Newton's totally off base with some of the things he's saying. They're ridiculous, right? What bothers me, too, is so he just beat Jared Goff. I don't hear any of these conversations about Jared Goff had better guys on his football team, and that's not an issue. And in fact, what I would say, too, is Brock Purdy was able to carry the team in some moments when things weren't there. Jared Goff was not capable of that. But he just gets a free pass, even though he was a losing quarterback, and then he's the one that, you know, blew the 17-point lead, and yet we're going to continue to criticize the guy who brought the team back from a 17-point deficit in the NFC Championship game and has played football at an extremely high level the whole year. I understand he's not Mahomes or Josh Allen. We get that. But that doesn't mean you can't be one of the best quarterbacks in football or in the top 10 conversation. I mean, again, Joe Montana was not in the class of Dan Marino or John Elway in the 80s. If we got on a practice field with them, you'd go, oh, my gosh, it's not even close. Elway and Marino, they do everything better than Joe Montana, except maybe play the game, which is the most important thing. You got to be able to play the game. And that's where Brock Purdy is damn good. And you know me, I think John Elway is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. But I'm just trying to say, you know, again, there's more than one way to skin the cat, as I think is a phrase out there.
Yeah, it is a phrase. That's good, correct. Good. It's not a Simsism, as we're live here, and we've yet to curse 16 minutes in, which is also a
positive. Well, I'm trying to be
nice
to the London, the Sky crowd. I'm not really worried about the Americans, but the UK crowd, I don't want to
Not that they scrub out the off-color language even when they have 5 hours to do it. So I don't know that live makes all that much of a difference.
Right.
The difference between good and great quarterback right now in the NFL, it's something that came clearly into focus with Mahomes. The guys who can take nothing and turn it into something.
Yes.
Okay, you run the play that's called, great. It works, great.
Right.
That's why offensive coordinators get paid what they get paid.
Right.
But if it's not there, what are you going to do? Jared Goff, what are you going to do? You're going to throw it away.
Right.
You're going to live to fight another day.
Right.
Kirk Cousins, what are you going to do?
Exactly
you're
right.
You're going to live to fight another
sure.
day.
Right.
The average middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks either can't do it or won't do it.
Yes.
The best quarterbacks.
Right.
The top of the top are the
right.
ones who can take that play that was going to be a negative because negatives happen,
right.
and they turn it into a positive.
Exactly
like those
right.
multiple runs in the NFC Championship where Brock Purdy did the water dragon thing and gains 20, 30 yards.
Or scramble and make throws when nothing's open.
Right.
Right? I mean, he did a number of that. There was 4 or 5 throws in the football game that way.
Think about this. It goes from 2nd and 11,
yes.
which would have been 3rd and 11 or longer if
right.
he'd gotten sacked, and it's first and goal
at the 4-yard line, right? You know, here's another
it would have
scenario.
Been another 3rd and long.
Another 3rd and long, and he gets him out of jail.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly right. You know, again, these are the things where this guy is so bright and smart, because what happens, too, and where this is his game continues to grow and get better, he's, you know, everyone's worried about all the things Shanahan does, right? So he's starting to realize, wait, they're worried about the run. They're worried about the screen. They're worried about Deebo over the middle. They're worried about Ayuk deep. Oh, wait, the one thing they forgot about was me, and I can run a little bit, and I can make a play every now and then. And he has brought that to his arsenal, you know, more than ever here late in the football season. And, yeah, I would think that that is going to be important in this football game. I would think his legs and a few plays that way are certainly, you know, going to be influential in what happens in this one.
So if you are Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, right, and you've come up with some of the most legendary postseason game plans in league history, what do you do to account for the possibility that if you have all the guys covered, all those great weapons covered, and the walls are closing in, he's going to slip through the crack, and he's going to water dragon his way for 20 yards. How do you prevent that?
Well, the first thing is, we talked about this a little going to the AFC Championship game. They've had 2 weeks, two games in a row of defending mobile quarterbacks, right? So all those bylaws and rules are going to still stand in place here. Now, they might not spy him like they would a Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, but I would promise you that they're going to be conscious of rush lanes, conscious of not running by him on a regular basis, right? That would be the big thing. And I think that's where it'll be an interesting thing to do. Kansas City gets great push with their offensive line. They know how to – defensive line, excuse me. They can really collapse the pocket. And that, too, is going to be something that I'll be interested to see, because Purdy doesn't always play big in the pocket. We saw some plays, his interception in the Detroit game, where the pocket collapsed on him, and he's not going to be able to throw over people with people hanging on him. That's not who he is. And that's where I think Shanahan's got to be a little careful, too, about putting him underneath the center too much, where he might have to be in the shotgun maybe more than times past. Maybe to open up some of those lanes, to give him places to run. But, man, Spags, that Chiefs defense, they're all over everything right now, and I do expect them to have some sort of a plan on the third and long situations that we've talked about.
It comes back to, excuse me, the basic reality that you got 11 guys.
Yeah.
And how you deploy them dictates where openings might be. And if you start doing anything differently because you're trying to anticipate the possibility of Brock Purdy taking off and gaining 20 yards and turning second 11 into first and goal, or third and six into first down, you're undermining yourself somewhere else. If you're paying attention, if you're peeking, if you're trying, if you're
Definitely.
Somebody may run by you,
right.
and I guess that becomes the next level for Shanahan. How do you maybe bait them into getting caught flat-footed?
Yeah, sure.
Thinking he's going to run here,
right?
And maybe he acts like he's going to run and then stops and does a quick little pop pass or something. Like, where's the next frontier of what we see that Purdy can do?
Yeah.
And this is the chess match within that broader effort to just kind of figure out what's going to happen next.
He's going to have to make some plays like that in this game. Shanahan is not going to be right all the time against Spagnuolo. Spags is Spags because of his consistent ability, unlike most old coaches in football, to continue to grow, get better, self-scout themselves, change, not go, this is what I learned 20 years ago and I'm still doing it, right? That's where guys like Shanahan and McVay and even Andy Reid on the other side, that's when they screw defenses over. And so Spags is not going to let Shanahan get comfortable in a groove to go, oh, every time you've got three receivers here, we'll be in this coverage, right? Or every time you get two receivers here and two receivers the other side. Where he's not, his big part of the game is going to be, don't let Shanahan figure out what the hell I'm playing. And so there's going to be plays because of that that will then end up into backyard Brock Purdy football. And can he make a play against one of the best playmaking defenses in football? We know that too. And that's where they're special. Mike, I would expect we see some things where Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, if he's healthy, maybe even Reed in the middle of the defense at times when he comes down at safety, where they're there, they're kind of playing for crossers or people over the middle of the field. Right, they're not playing anybody man-to-man, but they're aware of Purdy running, right? So they're going to be like, Spags will teach them, hey, if you got a shallow crosser, get in their way, right? Try to help out some of the other guys chasing. But as you're doing that and kind of feeling that out, have your eyes on Purdy in case he makes a move so then you can run him down. And those are some of the things that they did to Lamar and Josh Allen, and they're really well schooled up. It's going to be, hey, the Shanahan offense versus the damn Steve Spagnuolo defense is bring your popcorn, because it's going to be the ultimate brain and chess match.
It's a wrinkle we never really thought we'd have that I think we need to pay a ton of attention to, how they deal with the possibility, the likelihood of Brock Purdy running and running effectively. When we're so used to the Patrick Mahomes, improvisation.
Being that guy, right.
It's a more controlled.
Right.
It's a more deliberate. It's a more strategic thing.
Well,
but when it happens, you got to have an answer for it.
Yes, yes. And as we know, the great ones do both, right? I mean, when we talk about Mahomes or Allen or Joe Burrow, we go, well, they can do whatever. They can run the Shanahan offense and, you know, dissect you with their brain. Or they could go, well, just, hey, make sure you just run around and I'll figure it out. Like, that's the kind of talents those guys are. And that's the things they can do on the football field. Not everybody has that. Mahomes is Mahomes because of that. Mahomes is already in the greatest quarterback of all time conversation because of that. He can dissect you like Brady or Manning, or he can run around and make plays like, you know, John Elway in his prime and throw lasers 40 yards across the field in an awkward position. So that's where he is, of course, the most special guy maybe we've ever seen at the position. But, yeah, both guys are going to have to make some big plays in this one.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Jump into the world of Wildcrats at Philadelphia's Please Touch Museum. Explore the world of this PBS Kids series in the Wildcrats Creature Power Museum exhibit, opening May 31st. Discover animal habits from around the world as you swing through the trees like a spider monkey, sneak through the forest like a jaguar, hunt for lunch like a platypus, and much more in this adventurous new exhibit. Get tickets at pleasetouchmuseum.org. That's pleasetouchmuseum.org.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Another very interesting nugget in Football Morning in America where Peter King recounted the questioning of Kyle Shanahan about the pursuit of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Shanahan talks about the drafting of Brock Purdy with the last pick in the 2022 draft, selection number 262.
Right.
And Shanahan says, the pick's coming up, and I remember Dr. John York. He's the owner, along with Jed York, of the team. Dr. John York asking, who's the best player out there? I go, well, there's no doubt Purdy's the best player. He goes, then what are we talking about?
Right.
I was like, well, there's other spots, other positions.
Right.
We might be able to get him as a free agent for $10,000 after the draft.
Yeah.
Dr. York can't believe it. He's looking at me like, I don't get why there's a discussion if you guys think he's the best player. This is a way where ownership can have value. And this is understanding.
Clear the brain a little bit of the coach.
It's not pretending to know the niceties of what the guy's strengths and weaknesses are, how he's going
to
be able to throw the ball effectively against a cover three or whatever.
Right.
This is just organizational.
Right.
Get everyone on the same page.
You're telling me something. Well, I'm hearing you. Are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Like, exactly.
Why, you know, listen to yourself.
And you have somebody who's wise, who's experienced, and who's able to say, dude, what are you doing? Because back in week seven. As the Vikings were getting ready to host the 49ers, one of the sound bites of the week was Purdy saying if he hadn't gotten drafted,
that
he might have signed with the Vikings.
One of those teams. Exactly right. That's the risk of, maybe we don't draft him. You know, we can get him for a low amount of money. But what happens is there's seven other teams with that game plan, right? And all of a sudden you go, oh, no, we're in a bidding war for a free agent player that we didn't even draft. And, it becomes an issue. So that's why you draft him, too. You take that off the table. And don't even have to worry about it. And, I think Dr. York did good there in listening to Shanahan and understanding, hey, best player, he's a quarterback. You can't have enough good in them. I know, there's other roster spots, but it's the quarterback. And obviously he was speaking very positively of him that Dr. York could sort through the BS there. And, of course, that's one of the best Mr. Irrelevant picks in the history of football.
And think about it. Would Brock Purdy have been attracted to a situation where it's Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance?
where Trey Lance is entering the season as the presumed starter, who's going to be the starter for years to come.
Right.
We didn't know he was going to break an ankle week two. Right. We didn't know they were going to be done with him after 1 year. We didn't know things were going to happen the way they did to give Brock Purdy an opportunity when he got one. So he might have gone to Minnesota. He might have been the understudy to Kirk Cousins.
Well, he could have been. Exactly. You know, it's where the people like Shanahan and, you know, even like Belichick back in the day, teams where they, hey, our offense is good, our organization's good, they sometimes go, well, we'll be able to get him here because he wants to come here, right, and do that. And I think maybe that's part of what Shanahan was thinking too, like, hey, most quarterbacks want to come here and play, right? We saw people last year, they were beating down the 49ers' door to be the backup quarterback. Sam Darnold, Mitchell Trubisky, all these guys out there throughout the years who were kind of in that limbo spot of, wait, I'm not a starter anymore, I'm being relegated to backup. You know, they want to go to Shanahan because they're like, whoa, this guy knows how to put everybody on the field and succeed.
We said no to Tom Brady.
Exactly.
We'll say yes to you.
Yeah, well, maybe. Right. Yeah. So, those are the struggles these coaches go through. And obviously, they got it right with Brock Purdy, and it all worked out the right way.
We're going to play a little sound from Brock Purdy here in a second. But before we do, I have an important question that's come to us via X.
Wow.
Somebody wants to know, this is from DeCowboy777. What day this year will Chris Trippin fall? And I see the apparatus
there.
Back there. We need to be sure it's properly nailed down.
Yep.
That all precautions have been taken. We may want to add netting.
Or yeah.
We may want to put netting
a pad there,
to avoid that.
Something.
And up comes the shoe.
Boom.
That was so close to you kicking somebody in the head.
I know.
But I was very concerned. I rushed to your aid. My friend is down.
Thanks, friend.
What can I do to help my friend?
Thanks, friend.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
So.
That's all right. That was a graceful fall by a great athlete.
We
there's
the
another
angle.
Oh,
this
wow.
Is
thank you, Courtney.
This is the little
Courtney
known.
Back in Connecticut's got the Sapruder film here. She's got the Sapruder. Look at the three girls over me. They're
you
like, hey, who are you?
Him in
they're
the
like,
head.
What are you? Who are you, idiot?
I mean, seriously.
They didn't even ask me if they were okay. I think they thought I was doing something for the show. And I was like, no, that wasn't anything for the show. I'm not tripping and falling this week, all right? I'm not going down. Not going to do that two Super Bowls in a row.
Part of me hopes that we won't have a repeat of that.
And part of you does.
Part of me hopes that we will.
Maybe you'll be more concerned about your friend next time around.
Well, you know, we're plugged in, and, you know, I don't want to break anything.
Boo crap. Okay.
Thank you for self-editing yourself, too, because last year when we were live, you used that same trio of words with a different back end. Here's Brock Purdy on the front end of Super Bowl week talking about the importance of something the 49ers have failed to do so far in the postseason, get out to a faster start offensively. Here he is.
I feel like all of us were sort of learning that. Just that, really, that chip on our shoulder, the mindset of our backs being against the wall, and we need it. That's when our best style of ball comes out, and we all step up to the plate and play our best. So whatever that mindset is early on, we need to get to it. And so obviously, we need to do a better job with, you know, third downs early in the game and converting on those and staying on the field. But I mean, when we needed to come back, we step it up, we pick it up. The intensity, everyone's just on it and on point. So if we can have that kind of mindset early on, just like we have all year, you know, come out, you know, firing away. I mean, I think that's when you know, our defense plays well with that. So that's something that we all got to talk about and be better at for sure. And that starts with me. So.
He's aware of his role in the failure of the team to get going. I mean, the bottom line is they were down 24-7. Yes, they came back from 24-7, but they were down 24-7. They weren't as effective offensively as they needed to be. It was sluggish the whole game. He was having trouble throwing the ball in the wet conditions at Levi's Stadium in the division round against the Packers. So it has been on him. He's the one that's got to provide that spark, get the lawnmower started, get the offense going.
Right.
It's part of the obligation.
Yes.
We're going to praise him. He's got that obligation to be the one to get it going.
Listen, you know, I'm sure they want to come out aggressive firing. You got to be careful against the Chiefs, though. I will say that. We know the Chiefs, they're aggressive as well. You don't want that, we come out aggressive and all of a sudden we throw an interception, we get strip sack fumble because we're waiting for a 40-yard pass to develop down the football field. So that's the fine line that Brock Purdy and the 49ers are going to have to find. You know, hey, listen, Mike, at the end of the day, there's no way the 49ers can feel like they got to have a little fear in them right now. They haven't played, they've been outplayed in two playoff games in a row. They peaked in mid-December. They have not shown us the same team we saw through that winning streak, through the meat and potatoes of the football season. That team has not been apparent. And they're kind of telling us that, right? That's, to me, one of the fascinating things about this story. I know we got some stuff to talk about with the Chiefs as well, but to me, it's – I mean, you hear Steve Wilks talking about effort from his defensive football team.
Yes, and the effort NFC. And pursuit. You, embarrassing.
Those things – You don't hear those things.
It was embarrassing and other strong language.
Right.
I can't remember exactly what it was, so I don't want to try to quote him, but a couple of very strong adjectives for how badly the defense was showing effort and pursuit.
Right. So those are rare to hear that kind of talk after a playoff run going to the Super Bowl.
I think was the other word.
Yeah,
unacceptable and embarrassing.
Right. So you got that, and then you got the offense. It's, you know, yes, they put up some points last week and all that, but I think at the same time, we're not seeing the same explosive offense that we have seen, you know, throughout November, late October, early December before the Ravens game. And so that's got to be concerning too when, you know, okay, we haven't played our best offense, we haven't started games hot, and now we're playing a team that's, you know, relishes the Super Bowl, the big moment. They're going to come out hot. They were going freaking crazy in the AFC Championship game. I mean, they put their soul on the line. They knew who they were playing. The Ravens in Baltimore, the best team in football. You know, so the Chiefs here, that's where this is an intriguing mentality for how the 49ers are going in this game, and something I'm certainly going to be watching to see how they start off and kind of can they get some confidence.
You mentioned the comments. Let's hear it. Yeah. Let's see it. Steve Wilks last week talking about the lack of effort by the 49ers defense against the Detroit Lions.
I think you really have to ask them individually. Collectively, as a team, I can tell you, as a defense, it's unacceptable. All right, and we talked about that. I wish I could tell these guys on play 4, on play 27, this is what's going to happen. You don't know. So we got to make sure that we play every down as if it's going to be the difference in the ball game. And you could see on those two particular plays, it wasn't to our standard. And those guys understand and know that. And quite honestly, it was embarrassing.
Unacceptable and embarrassing, and they have to get that right. And, you know, you mentioned that the 49ers peaked early. They're facing in the Super Bowl a team
that's peaking.
That is peaking.
Right.
That is getting better each
exactly
week.
Right.
That has that vibe. That
right.
has that, you know, I say every year there's always a team around Thanksgiving that starts to get it together. This time it was the Chiefs.
It was Christmas.
Around Christmas.
Yeah, right.
After they got embarrassed.
Right.
After the Raiders came to town.
Right.
Took their lunch money on Christmas Day. That was the moment they turned it around, and off it went in the other direction, and they keep getting better and better.
That's,
and it's usually not an established team, a
no.
team that we expect to be one of the Super Bowl contenders that is the one that finds this gas pedal late and goes off like they
did. That, yeah.
It's going to make it harder for the 49ers.
It's going to make it harder for the 49ers. That's where, you know, there's got to be a little self-doubt in their mind about how they've been playing lately. And then with the Chiefs, there is no self-doubt. Now, is that a good thing? I don't know. You know, the Chiefs have had fear the last few weeks of going to Buffalo and Baltimore, and they were the villain. And now here they are kind of again. I know they're the underdog by points, but, like, I don't really feel like they're the underdog. And I don't – I think most people around town are kind of like, the Chiefs are underdogs? What? They have Patrick Mahomes. They're the Chiefs, right? They're underdogs? So it's a little weird that way, certainly. But, you know, to your point there, like, you're exactly right. Right? 49ers kind of just surviving. They're on the ropes. They're wobbly, but they're still winning. Okay, great. The Chiefs are thriving and continuing what it looks like to go on an upward trend here of playing the right way. And to where I get it to it, to me, where this is awesome, you know, my phrase was embrace the ugly. I was trying to say in December on Football Night in America and all that. They've embraced that. And this is where they've gone next level, in my opinion. Mahomes and the Chiefs, to me, have kind of gone Brady in New England mode here. It's no longer like we're going to worry about, oh, our stats, or we're going to run cool plays. They have finally accepted who the F cares. We're going to win the freaking game. Nobody will remember my stats and all this other crap that goes along with it 3 years from now. Did we win the game? Did I make the big plays in the big moments? That all that mattered. And I feel like the Chiefs have turned that switch on to go, yep, forget, I don't need to throw for 350. It doesn't have to be cool and sexy all the time. We're just going to come in here and be the Chiefs and beat you. And I think that's scary, too.
And the thing that helps the 49ers the idea that they've been in these tough, gritty, grinded-out games.
Yeah.
We talked about how the Eagles didn't have the benefit of that last year, and then they get into a grinded-out, gritty game with the Chiefs, and they kind of lock up. They lost sight of who they were. There were a couple of fourth downs. Maybe they should have gone for it, and they didn't. But now, what's going on with the 49ers is, if they're not careful, they're going to be the ones who are down 17 or worse against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, I don't feel certain about many things in this world right now. If the Chiefs are up 24-7 at the half, they're not going to leave the door open for the 49ers to come back.
That's what they need to guard against.
That's why they do need to start faster. They can't, because the Chiefs, if they're going to be sluggish, the Chiefs will take advantage of it. They'll do that Golden State Warriors run early and then hang on.
Yeah.
Kind of like they did against the Ravens.
Sure.
And see what they did against the Ravens. They didn't get greedy. They didn't want more touchdowns.
Nope.
They didn't want more points.
We'll just keep playing the way we got to play.
Himself.
Right.
We'll be careful.
Field position,
we'll be smart.
Defense. I'll be
defense
smart.
Defense is playing great.
Exactly.
We're
going to
be smart.
That's where
they
I feel
won't
like
let
they've
him
gone
back
next
in
level. I would agree with you there. That is, it would certainly be harder. Right? That's where it's again. I mean, it's a lot harder to envision the 49ers in some of these things. We could see the Chiefs getting out early, right? In a tight end of the game, one score type of football game too. I mean, geez, nobody wants to play Mahomes in those type of games either. So that's where, yes, the 49ers, I feel, and you heard me say this, their defense, I think, is the worst out of all the teams that have gone to the championship game over the last 5 years. And the offense has hit a lull. And that's weird to be going into a Super Bowl that way. Like you said, with a team that's hot, feeling confident. But what I will say to, like, let's flip the script a little bit on the Chiefs. Will they be too confident? Will they be like, wait, we beat the Ravens and they beat the crap out of the 49ers. We went to Buffalo and Baltimore. That's going to be harder than playing in a, you know, neutral site in Las Vegas, right? Is there going to be, you know, they're not the villain on the road. Mahomes isn't going to have the, oh, people think Josh Allen or Lamar are better than me. Yeah. He's not going to have that because he's going to go, I'm better than Brock Purdy.
They're wearing red.
Right.
I'm surprised they didn't do the thing. Remember the year the Steelers were on the road the whole time?
Sure.
And they had the choice
and
they went with white because they wanted to keep
that
vibe.
Right, keep it going. I hear you. That's a good point, too. I never thought about that. But those are the things I worry about from the Chiefs aspect of them going, wait, we already got through the hard part. And they're not playing that good, right? And that's where we've seen the Chiefs take their foot off the gas pedal before, and
play
you always use the phrase, play with their food.
Yep.
That's what they do. Now, when you add on Mr. Mahomes Sr. getting a DUI and some of those things, too, to distract you from the moment a little bit, those are things that I worry about for the Chiefs right now. Obviously, I'm a little more worried about the 49ers and where they are, but there is some psychological things I can look at from the Chiefs' standpoint that I think that are worth questioning there.
I saw that news yesterday when we were on our layover in Charlotte that Patrick Mahomes Sr. was arrested on suspicion of DWI in Texas. It would be his third DWI, which per Texas law has some ridiculously strict penalties.
They're tough down there.
2 to 10 years.
You don't want to mess with that group.
And how's that not a distraction?
Right.
It's similar but different from what happened on the Thursday night 3 years ago when Britt Reed, the son of Andy Reed, driving home. Britt was working for the Chiefs at the time, driving home and caused that accident while he was under the influence, permanently injuring a small girl. And he's in prison now. And that happened right as they're getting ready to pack up and go to Tampa because it was the COVID year. And they didn't come down the week before. And I think we underestimated what an impact that had on everyone as they came down to Tampa to play the Super Bowl. But this is definitely, how is it not? It's your father. How is it not an issue for Patrick Mahomes to have to deal with as they process and understand what the potential consequences of this could be with a third DUI and the kind of doubt that he might be feeling, like, why didn't I do everything I could to make sure he would never be in this situation again?
Yeah.
I have all the money in the world.
Right. Why don't we not have a chauffeur?
Car service on.
Right.
A car service already.
A full-time
24
chauffeur.
Hours a day.
Right.
Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I insist?
Yeah.
I bet he tried, and I bet dad's like, I'm fine.
Right.
Why didn't I insist? Why didn't I have that guy just sitting out there all the time so we wouldn't have him be in this situation? It's something he's going to have to process. And look, we know he can. We know he's mentally tough enough to do it, but it's just another thing to go on the pile of the other things he's already got to deal with.
Yeah, I agree. Now, they're the kings of being able to block out distractions. We know that. Good or bad, whatever. They're the greatest show on turf right now. We know that. But, I would imagine that this was a little annoying for Mahomes. I think probably better that it's actually a personal thing to just Mahomes rather than maybe a coach on the staff, right? Where then everybody's kind of whispering about it in the locker room, and it's the coach's son, and it's just like there all the time. This one's a little bit more like, hey, it's Mr. Mahomes, and yeah, he likes to have a drink and a cigar. We know that, right? He shows that off after every game. To where I don't think it'll be the same distraction, but nonetheless, it still is. And, yeah, it's something that the Chiefs will have to overcome. And, of course, Mahomes is going to have to answer those questions tonight at his media day in front of the whole NFL. Someone's going to bring that up at some point.
I mean, there's no need to moralize about it. It's just perplexing in this day and age where all you have to do is press the button.
Yeah.
And the car shows up.
Right.
And I know that the brain that is making that assessment is impaired.
Right.
But I'd like to think you'd have to be pretty damn impaired to not come to the conclusion that all I got to do is press that button and a car is going to show up.
That's right.
A car is going to show up. Oops, cancel.
I mean, I'm
but
Uber.
It's so easy.
Oh, it's so easy. I mean, Uber, I need to invest in Uber. I got a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I can't keep up. I'm sending more freaking money to Uber right now than I'd like to. I could tell you that much.
And it's just amazing because it doesn't feel like money because you never have
really
you don't have to
cash.
Get out your money clip.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to give them cash.
You just
you don't
look
have
at
to
your
worry
American
about paper
Express
money.
Card bill at the end of the month, and you go, oh, crap, what the hell was I doing? Danielle, my wife, what did you buy? And what else did you buy? How dare you?
She bought a hair clasp so you could wrap up your money and your credit cards when you come to Las Vegas.
Yes,
so she's
exactly.
trying to help you out. All right. We mentioned the underdog status of the Chiefs throughout this postseason. They are 2-point underdogs, and it's held that way for about a week now. It moved around at first. Here's Patrick Mahomes talking recently about the Chiefs being underdogs this postseason.
I think for some guys, for sure. I mean, we just haven't had that aspect, so it kind of lit a fire, I think, under some guys, including myself. But at the end of the day, it's playoff games. I mean, you want to win. I mean, this is what you kind of play for, and I think that fire would have been, regardless if we were underdog or not, that fire would have been lit because this is the time of year that you work for and you put in those hard practices for, and I think we have that mindset. If we're going to practice the way we do and we're going to work the way we work, we're not going to let it slide by, and we're going to make sure that we maximize our opportunity every time we're out there.
And, you know, we talk about where does the motivation come from if it doesn't feel like they're underdogs, if they're wearing the red jerseys, if they're not in a hostile environment, if they're not the villains. It comes from turning 2-3.
Yeah.
That's it. 2-3. This is his chance to get 2-3. And he's not going to blow that, I don't think.
So you're making your pick already.
I've been talking about I made my pick in September.
I know.
Chiefs, 49ers, Chiefs win. How am I going to go back on it now?
I know.
And you're not going to abandon your friend.
I took 49ers, Chiefs as well, and I took 49ers the 49ers. I know, but I'm nervous.
But this guy is obsessed
in
a good way
with
catching Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And this is his chance. I mean, I know Brady lost 3, and Mahomes has already lost 1, and it's not like he's going to win every Super Bowl he ever gets to, but this is his chance to turn 2-3.
No question
about
it.
And until it becomes 3, he's stuck at that.
Yeah.
And then he'll have his chance to turn 3-4.
He's aware.
Yeah.
He's aware. You know, I saw him talking this week, too. He's aware of kind of like where he is even in the playoffs, you know, as far as wins. He's very aware of his status of the all-time greats. And, of course, he wants this, right? Just like we knew Brady was chasing Joe Montana and had that as a benchmark, right? Same thing with Mahomes here. And they're set up for it. I mean, he's just in the prime of his career. This is the master of masters here. I mean, it's dissect you surgically, make the most unbelievable off-schedule plays you've ever seen in your life. He can do it all. And what's crazy, too, the team is set up. The team, because of the trade of Tyreek Hill and all that, they turned that into a number of great defensive players. They have one of the youngest teams in all of football. So let's see what they can do. But these are the opportunities that, he's going to have to take advantage of more than not, right? And we'll see. This is a big one against the 49ers.
Yeah, and
I mean, look at those. First 6 seasons as a starter, it's almost 100 more touchdowns than Tom Brady. It's 20 less interceptions. I mean, again, that's where I don't know if people understand. Brady is the man. I get it. Brady got groomed. Brady got to play defense, run the ball. We don't need you every week. Mahomes got in the field, and they're like, 350, 4 touchdowns, or we can't win. 350, 4 touchdowns, we can't win. More formations, make more plays, or we can't win. It was literally the organization on his shoulders from the start. And that's, to me, where it is a little different from Brady. And he has an edge in that department, but we all know the standard is the Super Bowl wins, and we'll see where he goes from there.
And really think about this. He's had 6 years as a starter. This is Super Bowl appearance number 4. The one they lost, his toe was messed up so bad he had to have surgery
both
2 days later.
Both tackles were hurt.
And both tackles were injured.
And the crash.
Still, he ran around made plays. Some of the plays he made.
They
are the best incomplete passes in NFL history.
Remember Mike
history.
Evans on mic'd up on the sidelines of that one? Mike Evans, he was literally like, to your point, was literally like, they had him mic'd up on the side. He was like, oh, my God. Mahomes is a magician. I mean, the whole game. That's all he kept saying because he's going, we're going to sack him for 12-yard loss. And all of a sudden it'd be like, whoa, they got a gain or he got that off and it should have been a touchdown. Yeah, he's amazing.
So that one could have been number 3.
Yeah.
And then the time they didn't make it was the Brady overtime. If the rules had been different or if the coin had gone differently, maybe they would have made it that year and played the Rams.
If D4 doesn't line up offsides, the game's over.
Would have been a rematch of that 54-51 Monday night before Thanksgiving thriller against the Rams. Imagine that.
Yeah.
We got 13-3 instead. Holy crap. And then
the Bengals lost.
They had the Bengals beaten, and they got cute. They started playing with their food.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, their food was all over their face. Right. That's another one they could have been to the Super Bowl. And then, I still say 2017, when Alex Smith was not playing well, and Travis Kelce was on this show. Back before Travis Kelce was Travis Kelce, and he would do this show. He was on this show, and he said that Mahomes is doing incredible things in practice.
Right.
And I remember saying, hey, if the offense is sluggish, put in the kid.
Yeah.
Because we remembered from the preseason what he did against the Titans, running to his right full speed, fired that dart, took a shot in the face right on the money.
Did that bombing of the Falcons preseason game where he threw it like 60 in the air.
Holy crap, what this kid can do. Let's get him out on the field.
Right.
So they resisted. But it's amazing. And he's getting better, and he's hitting his prime, and his brain is becoming that supercomputer where you can't fool him, and his body can still do what it does. As I said last week, as we were breaking down the aftermath of the AFC Championship, if you don't like this, folks, find something else to do on your Sundays during football season because it's going to continue to be the Chiefs for years to come. We've got to take a break. When we return, two guys who aren't happy about the fact that it will be the Chiefs for years to come and are trying to keep it from happening. Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell and receiver Jacoby Myers. Next, live here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Saving money on protecting your garden. Now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big.